And again, Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick and Chase McCabe alongside for the ride today as we close out another week. And boy, do we have a lot of things to get to yet again going into a busy, busy sports weekend here in Nashville. Elijah Campbell manning the board at our game studios. We're going to have Hall of Famer Warren Moon join us here in a couple of minutes. Guys, how we doing?
Hello, Darren.
Chase.
Willie. Hello. Elijah.
No magic last night. No magic. No magic.
I told you, no buyer magic. Beware. If you bought into the stat, you were buying it in because you thought it was magic. And at halftime, you probably felt okay. Hey, the magic has happened. If they didn't miss the extra point, we got a tie game. We're looking good. Christian McCaffrey's out. The magic is back. But not so much in the second half.
You keep bringing this up. I never saw Irvin at all. I was looking for him, but I didn't see him. I didn't see Showtime.
I kept looking for Copperfield, and I didn't see Copperfield anywhere.
No Copperfield.
I thought he would be the halftime entertainment.
That'd be
David
fun.
David Copperfield. Wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be fun. But, yeah, it was a – last night to me was your typical Thursday night game. Not all that
I know.
Exciting.
And for me, a huge baseball fan who loves this time of year, you know, I'll watch big games that involve the pennant race, even if my team's not in it. All of the games were done in the afternoon. There were no baseball games on. Mm-mm. I, of course, Darren, still am a hardcore fan that has the package.
Yeah.
So I have access to all the games. But I didn't have that choice. So I was kind of stuck watching the magic or lack thereof.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Glad you're still hanging in.
It just didn't. Well, I mean, that's why you have it.
It sounds very
so
sincere.
So in case
Darren.
You have a dud like last night, I mean, that game was a dud.
Yeah.
I guess the fact that the Panthers, I did pick the Panthers.
I was going
to
say, you got
to go to the playoffs.
This is an opportunity for you to, you know, through three games, pat yourself
not
on
counting,
the back.
Not counting my chickens. Not counting
let
my chickens.
Let me just
but
tell you
they
something.
They are 3-0.
Their defense is for real. Their defense is good.
It is, but how long is McCaffrey out, though? That's the question.
That is. It looked
that
like a
look
bad hamstring injury. It looked that,
way. Looks like a lingering. It looks
well,
like a lingering one.
DJ Moore got – didn't he get
he
hurt,
did.
Too?
He did. He got hurt, too.
He came back.
Yeah.
He did.
I think I had given up at that point.
But, no, they look pretty good. I mean, honestly, that defense, who I started against you guys in fantasy, so, yeah, just saying. That defense looks pretty good.
You got some sacks. You got some sacks. You got some points.
You can't run on them. I mean, not that Houston's got this crazy run defense. You know, this run offense. Not that they've just got. I mean, is Houston not like the Goodwill store for running backs? Right? It's like Mark Ingram, David Johnson. Who are the other has-beens that they were out there trotting out? I mean, they're running backs. It's like, golly. Come on, help me out. Well, who was another one? It was like.
Say Philip Lindsay?
Philip Lindsay, yes, there we go. The Denver Broncos. Remember when he was the main back in Denver? Yeah, that didn't last very long. Gosh.
I think they're going to bring back Arian Foster here in a couple weeks, too.
Arian Foster would probably
he's got
be
left.
Their leading rusher.
Yeah, Arian Foster was pretty legit with them.
Oh, heck yeah. He was awesome.
Legit.
I'm just saying that.
Yeah, we had a window where he was.
I'm saying right now,
they
might
back in the league.
Be well to bring him back.
Did he not have a window where he was like the best running back in the league?
Yeah.
That's what happens. That's why I still am a little hesitant to go in on this. I know Robbie and Rex Road, they're getting into this, like, how great is Derrick Henry stuff, which is easy to do, and I'm doing it in my own way. But before we talk about Hall of Fame.
There it is.
Best
kind
of thing.
There's the whistle. There's the whistle. I hear the whistle.
Because Arian Foster's a great example. For a couple seasons, he was not Derrick Henry level, but he was awesome. Priest Holmes. You can make a long, long list of guys for about 3 years.
Well, here you go. Great. 2010, he had 327 carries, 16-16, 16 touchdowns. So
That's a pretty good year.
Monster year. That's a monster
The next year, 278 for 12-24 and 10. The next year, 351 for 14, 24, and 15.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There you go.
Three-year window. Yeah,
The next year, only played 8 games, 121 for 542, one touchdown, but bounced back the next year in 13 games, 260 for 1246 and 8, and that's when it all fell off.
Yeah, and then it fell off. Yeah, but that's a
and at some point he shared his
year window. Let's go four seasons.
I'd say four.
Where
yeah.
that's, I mean, he's yeah. top running back, top tier running back in the league.
NFL history is littered with a lot of really good running backs that had about 3 to 5 great. I mean, good to great years. Now Derrick Henry is doing things that haven't been done, as we know.
Well, so, here's
he's got a chance to be that next level. We're all excited about it, but he's got to do it.
For comparison, right now, so Derrick Henry, in his career through 80 games, 1,234 rushes for 6,100 yards, 58 touchdowns. Foster, in his career, 80 games, 1,476 on rushes, 6,527 on yards, 54 touchdowns. And that was an 8-year career. So Derek's already.
Yeah, he's, I mean,
right
Derek's
there.
Different level. I mean, he just is.
As we sit here today, if he continues on the same plane, we know where it's going. If it lasts 2 or 3 more years, we know that. But there's been an abrupt halt. Remember Arian Foster shared his MRI online?
He did.
And got some serious heat from the, like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to do that. But he was trying to prove, hey, I'm still healthy and things like that. But just there's so many stories of how great running backs all of a sudden hit the wall. And we can't really – it's hard to know why it happens or when it's going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, as we've also said, Derrick Henry's just built different.
He's different.
That's what we're hoping.
He's
elite. That's
what
we're
hoping. Everybody say it together.
He's different.
He's elite. He's different.
Yep.
You can't compare him to everybody because he's not everybody.
He's a freak.
He is the Titans' new version of the freak. Yes, on the other side of the ball, he is. He is a freak. Is he not? If that was his nickname over Keen Henry, would anybody argue? The freak?
Nope.
No. Other than we've already been there, done that in this market, but he is a freak. He is. I mean, you can't. There is no comparable to Derrick Henry in the league. True?
True.
Give me a comparable.
Nope. There's not one.
So if there is no comparable to you, you are a freak.
There was a great remember, we did the interview with is it Connor Orr, the Sports Illustrated writer? Elijah, help me with his name.
Elijah's on the phone.
But anyway,
yeah,
we had him on
Connor
the Sports
Orr's
Illustrated
right, yeah.
article. Connor Orr, I think, is the name. So he has an MMQB podcast this week about Derrick Henry. He shares a lot of the stuff that he talked to us about with the article he wrote about Derrick Henry off-season training, some of the stuff that he does to stay at the top level. It's a really good really synopsis of why he's different. He is a different guy.
You know who else was different? Our guest, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
There's no doubt about
it. We've got Warren Moon on the line with us. There's going to be around 80 Houston Oilers present at the game on Sunday. It's going to be a big to-do, and everybody should be excited about that. It's a big to-do game against the Colts, and Warren Moon, who's on the line with us, is going to be a part of it. He's going to also speak today after practice, and he now joins us. Warren, thanks for doing this. Welcome back to town. Good to talk to you. How's things going in your land?
Everything is going great. I'm here in Nashville and excited about it. Really excited to see a lot of my old teammates and a lot of the old Oiler guys that we used to go to battle with over the years, and excited to see a great football game between two teams in the same division that are trying to win this division. They're probably the two favorites to win this division, so this is a big game for both teams.
No doubt about it. What does it mean to all the guys that will be in attendance? And I know you can't speak for everybody, but I'm sure you've been talking to a lot of them. What does it mean what Amy Adams Strunk has done in trying to bring you guys back together, honor you? Bum Phillips, of course, is going to be in the Ring of Honor. What does it mean to you guys? Because I'm sure there for a long time, Warren, we know Houston is mad about all this, but, you know, they didn't get to keep the Oilers' history. The Oilers' history is here in Nashville with us. So what does it mean to you guys for this?
Well, first of all, it shows a lot about Amy Adams Strunk as far as how much she cares, you know, about the players and how much she cares about the legacy of not only the Tennessee Titans, but their legacy goes all the way back to the Houston Oilers. So she cares about that, and her dad started that football team. So for her to reach out to all the guys and invite them to come here to Tennessee is a huge deal. And then for the guys, you know, there was a lot of guys that only played for the Oilers. They have no other team to really identify with. So this is their identity, and they haven't had an identity since the Oilers left. There's no alumni weekends for them every year, or nobody that they can really associate with throughout the year. You know, I played for some other different teams, so I do have some associations other places. But for some guys, the Houston Oilers was it. So this is a great weekend to kind of heal some of those wounds, to make these guys feel like they're wanted, because football is a huge community and it's a huge fraternity. And it doesn't mean because you retire or your career ends that it ends for you. It should continue to keep going, and that's what Amy's trying to do right now by extending this invitation to all these guys to come here this weekend and kind of bring everybody back under the same umbrella.
We were talking about Derrick Henry and how he's a freak and how he's elite and how he's just different than everybody else. There is no comparable currently in the National Football League to what he does week in and week out. You saw a lot of great players at that position in your playing days. I mean, who stands out to you? I mean, when you watch, I guess let me just start there. When you watch Derrick Henry, what do you see?
First of all, when I met him, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, I was here for another function, and I went over to the facility and watched practice, and I met him for the first time, and I looked up at him, and I said, it's not fair that you are playing running back in the National Football League. I mean, this guy is a huge human being, and for him to be that big and to be that fast and to be that elusive, it's almost unfair. And like you said, he's almost not human. And I watched him play, you know, all of his time at Alabama. I'm a huge Alabama and Nick Saban fan. But then when he came into the NFL, they had to kind of adapt to, you know, what his style was. And I think they figured out exactly how to use him over the last 3 years. And he is he's probably the best running back in the league right now. And he's underrated as a pass catcher out of the backfield. He can catch the football, and he's taking the ball the distance that way, too. I'd like to see him throw the ball to him a little bit more.
Mm. Is there anybody that you can think of that that would even, you know, be in the same category as him of that you either played with or played against?
Probably not as big, but kind of ran the same type of style. Eric Dickerson, you know, he was a guy that was tall, and he probably didn't weigh as much as Derek. He's only probably about 225, but where Derek's more like 245 or close to 250. But yeah, there's nobody that kind of compares to the speed and agility for a guy his size. There was a lot of battering ram type backs that were big, but this guy runs like he's, you know, 210 pounds, but when he needs to be 250, he can be that too and run you over.
How do you think Derrick Henry would do, Warren, today if he had tearaway jerseys, huh? Think about his stats if he had a tearaway jersey.
Yeah, or people would probably try to grab on that braid hanging out of the back of his helmet, too, to try and tackle him as well. They'll grab anything they possibly can to try and get that guy down to the ground. He's like a wild bull in a rodeo when he runs the football.
So you just said you like Alabama and Nick Saban. What attracts you to that program?
Well, Nick was on our staff when I was at Houston my first couple of years. He was our defensive backs coach. So I watched him a lot as far as just how he handled his players, his group. And you could tell right then as a young coach, he was going to be a head coach one day and be very successful. So when he left and he went to Cleveland to be with Bill Belichick, it just kind of blossomed from there. And I followed him when he went to Michigan State, and then he went to LSU and now at Alabama. So I've just been a fan of his just because I noticed him at a very, very young age and thought he was going to be, you know, a really good coach, and he's turned out to be even better than what I thought he'd be.
He is pretty special, for sure. Warren Moon is with us, Hall of Fame quarterback. Houston Oilers going to be in town this weekend, a big Oiler reunion as the Titans take on the Colts. Warren, one of the things I was thinking about as we talk about Derrick Henry, he's kind of it's against the grain. Back when you were playing, there were so many guys or so many teams that did have the power running back that you would give it to 25 or 30 times. But you guys were sort of the team going against the grain when you came to the Oilers, because you guys were running that run and shoot when there were the Christian Okoyes and the Emmitt Smiths and guys like that. So what advantages do you think that gave your Oiler teams when you were doing things that not a lot of teams were doing?
Well, first, it didn't give teams a lot of tape to look at to see how to attack us. They basically had to just look at us. They couldn't, you know, look at 3 games prior to our game to see, you know, what we were doing, because every team was doing something different to try and stop us. So we were a very hard team to scout against because you just didn't have a lot of tape to look at, a familiarity with other teams. And then we were spreading it out and throwing it all over the place, and that's not something, like you said, teams were doing back then. They wanted to run the football and control it that way. They wanted to be balanced offensively, and we tried to be as balanced as we could too, but I think our whatever tipped the balance was the passing game. If we were going to be, 60-40 or 65-35, it would be passing. So our running game was still very effective. We always had a 1,000-yard rusher. But we just threw the football all over the lot. And what you see going on today in the NFL is a lot of what we were doing back in 1990 with the run and shoot and the spread, those spread offenses. Teams are just doing it now with wide receivers, but they also have these hybrid tight ends that are like wide receivers. So you can play these tight ends almost like a wide receiver in the slot or out wide, or you can also bring them back inside and play them next to the tackle as a regular tight end. I think that's the biggest difference in today's offenses. Otherwise, all the pass combinations and things you see today, we were doing back then.
It was exciting. And I remember when you came to the Oilers, you have to take a lot of pride, Warren. And when you came to the NFL, the Oilers were so down. When you think about where they had gone from the Love You Blue and Earl Campbell, and they hit kind of a dead spot there. And you really revived them. As you look back, you did a lot of great things. When you get to the Hall of Fame, that's an obvious thing. But sort of reviving a franchise, that's got to go pretty high on the list.
Yeah, that was one of my goals coming into the NFL. I wanted to go to a franchise that I could help rebuild. And like you said, the Oilers were 2-14 the year before I got there. And it took us a couple of years to get things turned around as far as draft picks and things like that. But we became a perennial playoff team for about 7-8 years in a row, and that's something, yeah, I was very proud to be a part of that, and a lot of other guys that are going to be here this weekend were part of that too. So the unfortunate thing is we never were able to get to that big Super Bowl, which is what our goal was, and I'm sure everybody's goal in the NFL, but we did have some very exciting teams. We had very competitive teams every year, and we always put ourselves in a position to maybe win a championship.
One of the things that I think about with you, Warren, the first thing that comes to mind is tightest spiral that I can remember. Darren, you watched a lot of games that Warren played. Chase is a little younger, but Chase, I'm sure you've seen it. So, oh, yeah. Warren, I'm curious, who taught you how to throw? Because, I mean, I think every quarterback would love to have that tight spin that you had, but obviously not everybody can do it.
You know, I didn't have nobody during that era had really good quarterback coaching, believe it or not. That position was probably the least coached position that you could find, and it's amazing that the most important position didn't have great coaching. Now today, you see these guys getting coached from the time they're in junior high school with specialist quarterback coaches, and they know the fundamentals and everything so much earlier. So that's why when they come into the league now, I think they're much more prepared to play. But I basically taught myself just by repetition, just throwing and throwing and throwing. My mother used to have to make me come in the house at night. She'd scream and holler to get me to come in because I'm out there at the streetlights with a buddy of mine down the street just throwing the football when I was in high school. And it just kind of developed over those years. I had a really good quarterback coach in college by the name of Ray Doerr, and he kind of helped me with my fundamentals and footwork. But, yeah, the throwing part of it, it came from just a lot of hard work.
We're talking to Warren Moon, Hall of Fame quarterback in town this weekend for Oilers weekend as Bum Phillips goes in the Titans Ring of Honor. And Warren, as we've mentioned and all talked about, you're a product of the Canadian Football League. You had a tremendous time there that led to your career in the NFL. And as all these conversations happen of does the NFL need a feeder system, need a minor leagues, however you want to put it, you know, as somebody that, you know, you benefited from playing in the CFL, how do you look at that, and how do you think that they can address that moving forward?
Well, I think there's no question it's needed, and I thought the XFL was off to a good start last year before COVID hit and had to shut the league down. I thought they were off to a great start as far as being able to develop not only players but develop coaches, develop trainers, equipment people, everybody that plays a part in an NFL franchise. NFL Europe was really good at doing that before they they discontinued that, I think, maybe about 10 years ago. But you look at some of the guys who came out of NFL Europe, just quarterbacks, Kurt Warner, Brad Johnson, John Kitna. I mean, all these guys were developed in a league like that and came back to the NFL. So there's no question a feeder league is needed because a lot of these guys just aren't quite ready sometimes and just need a little bit more seasoning. And a league like that would really help just bring in more players to the league and more of everything else I mentioned.
We had the opportunity for many years to work with Floyd Reese as a member of our afternoon show, and unfortunately we lost Floyd here recently due to cancer. I know he wasn't the GM yet with the Oilers, but spent a lot of time with that organization when you were there. What's something that you remember about being around Floyd, whether it's a linebacker's coach or assistant GM?
Well, he's the one that traded me from the Houston Oilers to the Minnesota Vikings. And I remember us having that conversation in his office when he did decide to trade me. That I told him, I said, I understand why you're doing it. It has to do with my age and salary cap issues and all of that. That's the business of football. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be a much better player for a little bit longer than the guy you're replacing me with. And once we played them when I was with Minnesota, we beat them, and I walked over and I told him, I said, see, Floyd, I told you. And he had that big grin on his face and just started chuckling. And that's what you remember about Floyd. He was such a happy-go-lucky, fun guy to be around. And whether he was coaching linebackers or assistant general manager or whatever he was, the guy was, you could always get a smile from him. And that's what I loved about him. That's what I'll always remember about him, is his great smile.
And I would never play poker against him. You'd be crazy to play poker against Floyd. In fact, I remember, Warren, it was probably, 1995 or 96. I don't know. Maybe you could help. I don't know. Maybe they all run together. Some buddies and I went to Buffalo in December and watched the Bills and the Vikings in a blizzard, and you were under center that game, and you guys actually beat Buffalo that day. I don't remember the exact year, sometime in the mid 90s, but it was a blizzard the entire
I don't know
game.
I don't know how we did it because that's the type of weather I did not like playing in, especially if it was wet. And it seemed like every time I went to Buffalo the weather was kind of like that. But we had a disastrous game when I was with the Oilers in Buffalo, where they came back and beat us in a playoff game. And then I've been up there in bad weather and also beat them, like you said. So you just never know when you go up there. It's a tough place to play, and they have a great fan base.
Yeah, no doubt. Warren, appreciate the time as always. I know you're going to be at Titans practice. You're going to talk afterwards. Always good to talk to you. Are you going to talk? I thought you were going to talk, though.
No? I don't know. Maybe. Okay. I'm just following the band right now, you know.
Well, enjoy the weekend. It's going to be a special weekend. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys. Let's have a great weekend, and let's go Titans.
You'll have great weather for sure. That is Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. He will not have to worry about wet snow this weekend.
Yep.
That is not in the forecast.
He's all clear there. But now I think you planted a seed. He might have to prepare just a little something on the way for the next
week. I love
the back
that.
Of his mind. Wait, I am speaking?
was there not an email? I mean, I didn't make that up. I mean, did it not say that he was speaking?
I don't know. I'm trying to help you out.
How funny would that be if he goes in there and they're like, Warren, are you ready to speak?
It says former, like, yeah. It says former Oilers available to the media. And so, yes, you are right. You are correct. Warren.
See? Okay,
Warren,
so he's not. But I think he thought you meant speaking to the team.
Yeah, no, Warren, he's doing media.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. I didn't mean speaking.
Okay, but no, I think he took it as like, you're going to speak to the guys.
Oh,
right?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. It says he's going to be at the podium.
Yeah.
After practice.
Yes. No, I think he probably knew that, but I think you were sort of saying, yeah, you're going to be talking to the team.
Oh.
You know, Mike Vrabel's bringing in for the inspirational speech.
I love that. I am.
Whoops.
Really?
Okay. So, okay, I can see where he took that. All right, that's – I should do a better job of – okay, that's air on me. I get that. He probably was like, why?
I think what you said was speaking at practice. So
well,
I said
practice, didn't I?
No, you said at practice.
Yeah, he's speaking. He's speaking in like 20 minutes.
Okay, all right.
Is when the availability is.
All right. Whoops.
So now he's going to be mad that Mike Vrabel's like, wait a minute, when do I get to speak to the team? I thought I was supposed to speak to the team.
I just did an interview.
The guy on the radio said I was speaking.
They said I'm talking to the team.
Yeah, Darren said I was allowed to speak to the guys. Come on, coach.
Oh boy. By the way, did we get?
Clean your shoe, Darren.
Yeah. Did we get any update on our buddy Michael Rappaport?
Unfortunately, it was unable to work out.
So he is not going to speak to the team.
He is not. He is not.
That's too bad.
Well, he didn't really
want
to speak to the team.
That's a missed opportunity, man.
He just wanted to speak to Derrick Henry.
Yeah. We worked on it. I tried.
I'm going to tell you, no, based on what happened after our interview the other day, there's another team that might have him over there. They might like to have him over there.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that either.
Nothing wrong with that. That'd be fun. They're actually skating as we speak right now, the Predators. They're on the ice.
All right.
Finally, they're back.
They're back. And then they go to Sunrise.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, Darren,
Chase, let's set the table for the next segment because this is going to be some entertaining stuff as well. Jeffrey Gorman is going to come on with us. He hosts the Colts official podcast. He's part of the team there. They do a bunch of them. They do some good stuff. I've learned a lot about the Colts this week listening to some of the things that they do. Their radio crew is a part of it. We had Greg Rakestraw on with us earlier this week. But Jeffrey, as you know, because he was here for a long time, his cousin, Steve Gorman, drummer for the Black Crows for such a long time, friend of all of ours, worked with us for a while in the early days of 102.5 The Game, and then even before that at our previous home. Jeffrey is a funny guy. He's worked with the Colts for a long time, so he's got relationships with the owner, the former quarterback, Peyton Manning. He's got some funny stories to tell. We can talk about the game on Sunday, but we might mix in a funny Peyton Manning story or two as well. So this is – you want to listen in the next
segment. Well, he better be good because you've just built it up. So this better be really good.
I'm not worried.
That was quite the tease.
I'm not worried.
Yes, it was.
I'm not worried. You guys have met Jeffrey before.
No, we've met
he's
Jeffrey.
He's hilarious. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you have built this up. This better be really good. Willie promised – this is not going to be magic. This is going to be really good.
No magic needed.
Jeffrey Gorman next here on the DDC, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD, products curated for life. What a gorgeous day here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. We just had Warren Moon on, Hall of Fame quarterback. Good stuff from him. Now let's learn a little bit more about the opponent of the Titans on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. We're going to learn a little bit more about the Colts. Jeffrey Gorman is on the line with us. Jeffrey, is it true that the Colts have reached out to Warren Moon to have him play quarterback on Sunday, and he declined? Is that true?
Yeah,
true or false?
I am not. I can't confirm that. I can't deny that at this point. But, guys, I'm happy to be here. But how do you put me behind a Hall of Famer? I mean, couldn't I go in front of him? It's only downhill for me from here if you guys are going – Warren Moon to Jeffrey Gorman.
Well, if we want to prop you up, what if we told you he found out you were coming on and he wanted to make sure he went in front of you? What do you think about that, man? Yeah, there you go. I'll take that.
Yeah, we're looking for we could use some gunslinging out there, and I'm sure Warren's got a quarter or two left in him, so should be fun. Looking forward to Sunday for sure.
How bad is the quarterback situation in Indy? Is it going to be Hundley? Is that who they're rolling with?
I think we'll go with a game time decision on Carson Wentz. Still monitoring if he can go or not, and then once the decision comes down, I can't say honestly what Frank Reich has in mind, because there's different packages for two different styles quarterback. As far as Brett Hundley goes, he's got more of a scoop factor. He can move around a little bit, and if you go with Jacob Eason, he's going to sit back in the pocket and throw it through a wall. So. I know he's talking about the cliches of giving the team the best chance to win, but you really do have to think about that. What is your best chance if Carson can't go? Because you're going up against a buzzsaw, a team that dropped their opener in Arizona and then, you know, went up to Seattle and did what you did with 180 yards from the King and 350 from Tannehill. So any sort of advantage that we can take as far as coming up with a game plan that could possibly beat this team on your turf, I think that's what it's going to do. I can't say Hundley's going to be the guy or Eason's going to be the guy if Carson can't go, but I do know that Carson would be option number one if he can stick it out with, you know, first time I've ever heard of it, by the way. We're talking about two sprained ankles on a quarterback.
You know what's crazy is we thought the same thing, and we had Kelly Holcomb, former Colts quarterback, backup quarterback, and longtime NFL quarterback on the show, and Chris Sanders, who used to play wide receiver for the Titans, was a track star at Ohio State, both on at the same time. And I asked them that, and I was like, have you ever heard of, because we were thinking the same thing. And they're like, ironically, they both quoted times in their sports careers, although I'm not sure Chris's story really counted, but they both said they had dealt with a double ankle sprain before. Is that weird?
I was talking to Ursay, the Colts owner, the other day. We were talking about this game, and the quarterback came up, and he's like, "Bro, I've been in this league for 50 years, 50, and I've never heard of a double sprained ankle, and especially at the key position of a quarterback." So it's weird. I know one is worse than the other on Carson as far as degree goes of sprain, but like I said, I think our best option is for him to try and tough it out, and if he can, I'm not saying throw the kid out there if he's hurt, but if he can go, I think he will be, the best shot that we have of upending the Titans there. But I think it's going to come down to a game-time decision, and this practice that's coming up here in a few minutes is going to tell a lot as well. There's never been a quarterback in Frank Reich's NFL career that has not practiced through the week, including walkthrough, and then started a game on Sunday. So a lot to be, discovered and figured out this practice about who's going to go, because it's not just the quarterback position we're dinged up at. We've got a few other key players that are a little hobbled right now. Not a good recipe to go into Nashville with a ticked off Tennessee team.
Well, let me just say this. This is not radio speak. If we're going to do coach speak, this is not radio speak. We're still a little skittish here. I'm just going to be honest, no matter who's under center, because we have seen in the past, Jeffrey, the Titans lose to one Curtis Painter. Mm-hmm. We've seen the Titans lose to one Josh Freeman, who was a Pizza Hut delivery driver that week and then just showed up to the facility and beat the Titans. I mean, the list is not attractive. It's not just Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Jacoby Brissett has beaten them. I mean, there has been some lesser-known quarterbacks that have beaten the Titans. So no matter who it is,
I'm with you on that. I hope that's the factor. I mean, the key thing is, how about this one? The last five meetings between these two teams, you guys probably know the visitor has come up victorious. So, I mean, we have that in our favor. But I think we're talking offense here with Colts and obviously the quarterback position. We got a heck of a running game. The offensive line is almost at 100%. Braden Smith, the right tackle, is still out. If we can get these running backs oiled up, including Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor, hey, keep you guys off the field, keep the Titans off the field, and keep Henry under 80 yards. I love this little nugget with Derrick Henry's going under 80 yards. The Titans are 9-15, and if he goes over 100 yards or 20-2 or whatever. So I think the key is just stopping the king and making Tannehill beat you, and then he's going to throw A.J. Brown at you, who's ticked off and not having a great game last week, and, of course, Julio Jones that can sleepwalk his way through double-digit catches on a Sunday afternoon. So, I mean, the buzzsaw is there. It's happening. We got to come up with a way to keep you guys off the field offensively and shut, and when Derrick Henry's getting oiled up, shut him down. The quarterback situation, I don't know that our guy, whoever it is going to be able to throw for 350 on this team, but I look for the running game to be, one of the stars if we're going to have a chance on Sunday.
Well, just ask Julian Blackman. He was very vocal about that yesterday.
Oh,
but boy, tackling sure Derrick Henry.
Man, it's like
I like how he described
it.
He says, you got to wrap around him and then look around and say, guys, come on over and help.
Help.
Come on
I
over and
help.
Give you a little help.
Help.
Need some assistance.
That's it, man. You're going to go for a ride if you're trying to tackle him. It's impressive to watch him do what he does. But, I mean, this is a big one. We're talking about going 0-3 possibly if we can't make some magic down in Nashville, and that doesn't add up for a good recipe. And we thought we had something with a little help from you guys in week one with the Arizona loss and then jumped up a game and a half with the victory up in Seattle. So, I'm not saying must win. They got a boatload of games this year in 17, but, I mean, we're getting to that point where it's like, boys, if we're going to make a run at this thing, a possible division title, it starts on Sunday. And like I said, the Curtis Painter and the Josh Freemans and those memories, and, we got to oil up something if Carson can't go.
Talking to Jeffrey Gorman, he is with the Colts official podcast. And, Jeffrey, one of the things that I know you guys touched on in your discussion of the game against the Rams is a lot went wrong for the Colts. We talked about Wentz's injury and then the red zone stuff, and yet you're sitting there saying they still probably should have won the game against the team that we all think is as good as anybody in the NFC. So the Colts are bringing a lot to the table here, despite all these issues that they've got.
Absolutely. We left 14 points on the board in the first half against them with a couple of, fourth down calls that didn't go and a fumble and whatnot. So they were playing up with arguably one of the best teams in the NFC. So it's still there. It's still there. You know, we had a somewhat healthy Carson for the whole game too, and he wasn't bad. So, you know, I'm scratching my head on this one as far as trying to figure out how to beat the Titans, but it's going to take a lot of black and blue stuff, a lot of Jonathan Taylor, and keeping Henry and Tannehill on the sidelines. It's go time here this time of year, man. It's like, you know, we got a 5-game stretch here that's just going to be, you guys know it. This NFL, they don't get any easier. It just gets harder and harder through the whole, you know, through the whole rest of the season. And to win this division in the NFL, it's going to take 11 or 12 wins, or even a wild card is going to have to be a double-digit win team. So the time is now, man. The time is now. I kind of want to shift the talk, because you guys are making me a little, not depressed here, but I'm, you know, I was in sort of a good mood right now, and I know we're going up against this bus. Should we just talk about the Predators' chances this year?
Well, they are practicing right now.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, should we go that route, and then I can get a little energy going, a little? I mean, I'm a Red Wing fan at heart due to where I was born, and when I lived in Nashville, man, I was just, you know, that's a city, that's an organization that will win a Stanley Cup, and when it does, boys, you know this as well, that place is going to blow up. That will be the biggest celebration in NHL history if the Preds are hoisting that cup.
Well, we're hoping that that happens at some point. So, Jeffrey, as you just referenced, you spent enough time here in Nashville to know how popular and revered Peyton Manning is. And, of course, he's gone into the Hall of Fame. Now he's in the spotlight for this broadcast he's been doing with Eli on Monday Night Football, which has become a big hit. You know him really well over the years. And one of the things that that happened over the pandemic is there was some great sports writing historically. You can go back and chronicle a lot of things, some deep dives. And there was a really funny article I read from the Colts chronicling some of Peyton Manning's stuff behind the scenes. And it involved his ability as a prankster. And you were involved in one of them. So can you share firsthand the story of, I think it was your car that ended up in a moat. And I don't want to give away the whole story, but tell us what happened there.
In a moat. I love well, not quite, but listen, he's gotten me he's gotten everybody around him a number of times. Me, he got twice in the same year at training camp. The first time was when I went to training camp and I didn't spend the night there. We were at the time in Terre Haute, which is about an hour and a half outside of Indianapolis or so. And I ended up going back home and going back there early in the morning. And, you know, the campus that we were on is huge and sprawling, and you needed a golf cart to get around. But the players were the only ones that didn't have golf carts. The coaching and the front, you know, the staff did. So he'd get a little ticked off at that, you know, and he'd just take carts and go wherever he wanted, whenever he wanted. Nobody was going to stop the sheriff, you know. So I got a little oily one time when one of the wide receivers, Stokely, took my cart. You know, Peyton heard about it, and I gave Stokely an earful. I came back that day, and my golf cart was in the middle of a pond on a raft, and I could not get it. I mean, I was looking at it, and I walked in, and I was hot, and I went into football operations office. I said, my cart isn't there. I know where I left it yesterday, and the key's not, you know, yada, yada. And the secretary, Debbie Finn at the time, of football, she said, I'm sorry. I said, excuse me. She said, yeah, you just look out the window. And I looked over her shoulder, and that stinking golf cart sitting in the middle of a pond, and I had to pay one of the security guards of the campus about $20 to see if he could, him and his boys could tow it back over so I could get this thing rolling again. So I let 18, I knew it was him immediately, and I let 18 know, hey, bro, don't screw with me because I got time, and I'm going to get you if you want to play this route. And he said, okay, didn't say much, and the next week, I was up at, you know, staying up at camp, and I used to park my the Suburban out in front of where I stayed. I woke up one morning, the car's gone. And I'm saying, what in the heck is going on? I went to campus police and everything. I said, I got a stolen car here. He said, no, hold on, we're working on it here. And I'm hot and in football ops again, and nobody knows any answers. And the security guard goes, we found your car. If you want to hop in the golf cart with me, we can take you to it. And I go to the practice field, and it's in the middle of the 50-yard line, and it is saran wrapped around everything. And I mean 12 layers of saran wrap. So the moral of the story is don't tick off Peyton and don't threaten Peyton, because he has time, money, and resources to do whatever he wants to get you. And that's when I knew. I said, I'm not going to fight with this guy. His army's too big.
That's a big army. That's a big army. So I actually melded the two stories together. So we had a golf court on a golf cart on a raft in the middle of the pond, which I wouldn't know how to start getting it out there or getting it back. And then we got the car at midfield with Saran wrap. So that's two pretty good ones. How do you compete with that?
I'll go deeper than that with you to show the crime syndicate that Manning had at training camps with the offensive linemen. I'll go deeper than that. He came into where I was staying at campus. There's a knock at the door at 10 o'clock at night, and I said, what the hell, Peyton? What's going on? He said, I just want to see where they put you up at here at this place. So he walked around a little bit, and what he did is he left the back door open. He unlocked it. And he said, you got a nice place. I'll see you tomorrow. And then had either him or one of his guys come in that back door doing an army crawl and got my car keys off the counter and then went back out that open door. So, I mean, like I said, he was running a crime syndicate at training camp because nobody would say no to Peyton. And I told Irsay, too. I saw Irsay the next day after the car incident. And I said, hey, Mr. Irsay, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get them, and I'm going to get them good because I'm, you know, I've been in a panic here thinking my car's been stolen and et cetera, et cetera. And he said, he laughed so hard. He said, Gorman, you're not going to do a damn thing to that quarterback. Leave him alone. I said, yeah, I got the message real quick. You know, you don't screw with the sheriff.
Oh, man, Jeffrey Gorman is with us, Peyton Manning's favorite here on the show. You mentioned earlier some of the other injuries. How much of a concern is that? I know Pascal was a full participant yesterday dealing with an illness, but mainly guys like Xavier Rhodes, Paris Campbell, what do you think is going to happen with them?
Those are the big ones, man. That's what we're monitoring today. Campbell was out with an abdomen last week. Xavier Rhodes has been out a couple weeks. He's been testing out. So hopefully fingers are crossed for both of them. I'm looking, you know, the main one is Xavier Rhodes. I'd like to see him get back on the field, and with the depth that we have at cornerback right now, could definitely use his veteran leadership out there. He had a nice year last year, and it's all based on these Friday practices if they can go and the injury report afterwards. So I think it's positive. I think both of them look positive, but a lot depends on today and tomorrow, how they wake up, how they feel, how much they can go, how much percentage they can put on the injury, et cetera. You know, it's the thing with these guys. If they're playing at 85% or 90%, they're just guys in the NFL. You know what I mean? You got to play at that 100% mark to put yourself a separation from just, you know, those quote unquote just guys in the NFL. So it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be a lot of these injured players, including Darius Leonard, who's had some ankle injuries from training camp on. This is go time, man. This is like we said earlier today. It's now or never. You got to start stringing some wins together to stay in the hunt. So these injuries have been, you know, it's been a mass unit. I know that's an old reference, but you get it. It really has been one of those things as far as between our center and training camp, the Eric Fisher, our left tackle, getting COVID, coming back from the Achilles, and et cetera, et cetera. It's been one thing after another here, but hopefully, you know, we can glue this thing together with a little paper mache and Elmer's glue and keep this thing rolling a little bit and catch a hot streak sometime coming up and make a run at this title.
Well, we'll see how it all shakes out on Sunday. Jeffrey, appreciate the time. It's good to talk to you. We'll do it again down the road.
Let's do it. We play you guys twice a year, don't forget. I got more Peyton stories if you want them. There, you know, now as the years have went by and he's got his gold jacket now, I can start letting the cat out of the bag a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Good
go
stuff, Jeffrey.
I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Jeffrey Gorman, a host of the Colts official podcast, member of the Colts media, really good stuff about Peyton Manning. I mean, the prankster, but I love what Mr. Irsay was saying. You don't mess with the quarterback. Leave him alone.
So yeah, that's going to fall on deaf ears, trying to challenge Peyton Manning for sure.
What I want to know is, like, and he kind of alluded to it, is I would assume Peyton has – he's got people that are working for him. He's not the one that's actually doing this. He's not the one that's moving the golf cart and the car.
I think he used the term crime syndicate.
Yeah, he's got lackeys.
He's a family. Yeah, he's got an army.
Probably like coaching interns or something like.
How many people do you think it took to put 12 layers of Saran wrap on the car and get it to midfield?
Doubt. Yeah, I mean, probably a lot. But what's funny is, like, if you're an intern or something or whatever, like some low man on the totem pole, and Peyton Manning comes up to you and says, "This is what I want you to do," you can't argue with him. You just have to go,
yeah.
Okay.
What are you going
to
do? Not do it?
Right.
I'm not saying no.
Yeah, no. It's like, all right, well, all right. Okay, sure. But we'll come back. We'll talk more about this game, and Joe Dubin going to join us at 11. But first, kick off the new pro football season with the king of sportsbooks. Sign up with BetMGM using the code 1025GAME, and your first wager is totally risk-free, up to $1,000. Join the action for all the Gridiron Showdowns from Thursday through Monday night this week. When you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials on some of the biggest games. From hard-hitting tackles to epic touchdowns, the king of sportsbooks takes every play to a whole new level of excitement. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com, use that code 1025GAME, and you'll get back up to $1,000 on your very first wager. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. New customer offer, paid and free bets. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Don't forget, 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Yeah, listen in on Sunday. Nashville SC takes on Chicago. Chicago. Pre-game starts at 11:45 a.m. The match begins at noon. Don't forget, you can always watch us Monday through Friday streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Every day, our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, a loaded first hour. Hall of Famer Warren Moon, we already spoke to, who's speaking today at practice at the podium.
Yes.
Not to the team.
At the podium.
And you just heard from Jeffrey Gorman.
Who is not speaking to the team or at the podium.
Not. Not to my knowledge, but did do a lot of name dropping, which was good for him, because when you can do it, do it.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning and Jim Irsay. Yeah. He was doing some big name dropping.
Didn't drop the name Steve Gorman.
Did not. If you notice, Steve was left out. I guess.
What was that saying?
He would tell you bigger name line one. I mean, I don't know. That's what he would
maybe
say.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Maybe so.
Steve, if you're listening, love you, man. What is Steve up to? We haven't heard from Steve in a while.
He's doing his thing, man. He's an author now. I mean, he's a man of many talents, as he proved.
well, thank you. I mean, you didn't answer my question. I already knew that. What's he doing?
Well, he's an empty nester now. His two kids.
Crazy.
Went up through the ranks at USN, where my kids go. So we've known each other for a long time. Of course, we worked at the same radio station for a while, but he's got two in college now. His daughter is the same age as my daughter. So his daughter Marley is up at James Madison University, and Evie, as we know, is at Northeastern. I'm sporting the Northeastern sweatshirt today. Mm. So he's got an older son who graduated a couple years ago. Is at Indiana, Connell. So he and his wife, they're getting used to having the empty nest. I'm not looking forward to that. I mean, that's going to be, I mean, it's hard enough when you have one in college. It's still the three person house is just, it's a different vibe. You know, it takes some adjusting, as we talked to D-Mace about, you know, the 3D Hall of Famer. And what was his words of wisdom to me were, suck it up, Buttercup.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, it's not going to change.
Yeah. He said, you got to suck it up.
I mean,
it's tough, though.
Pasquale Sperduto, I mean, also. And Laura, empty nesters. I mean, this
empty nesters
that.
Now.
Empty nesters. Three kids.
Here's my question.
Speaking of, by the way, Sophia at Indiana. You know?
Yeah.
You just said Indiana.
We got a Gorman and a Sperduto at Indiana. Yeah.
Two Hoosiers, huh?
I mean, would you rather them, you know, stick around forever or, you know, spread their wings and leave the nest?
Right. You know, you don't want to have a George Costanza coming back and, you know, living at your parents' house when he's however old he was in the Seinfeld show. But
my name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents. Hi, I'm Karen. It's my favorite episode. George, if what you're doing is wrong, then perhaps the opposite will be right. That is my favorite Seinfeld episode of all time. The opposite.
The show about nothing.
Yep. Nothing. Nothing? Nothing. It's a show about nothing.
It always delivers.
Yep.
Robert Brazil is speaking right now at Titans practice. Not to the team, but at the podium.
You know what I wanted to ask, Robert Brazil,
he was awesome.
He was a great player.
Awesome.
He spoke at the Hall of Fame game that Tennessee State was playing. That had a great interview during the game there.
You talking about the one in Canton?
Up in Canton, yeah. During Eddie George's first game there. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to ask Warren Moon, we didn't have time, was who did he think had the best touchdown celebration among the Oilers? I mean, you got some pretty big ones coming in. Ernest Givens, probably the most underrated touchdown celebration of all time. Billy White Shoes Johnson is also coming in, correct?
Both of former them are going to be here. Yes, both of them are here.
And Billy White Shoes was like the first to become super famous for the touchdown celebration. But I would say Ernest Givens is right there. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yes.
He had something going. And, of course, a little later you had your Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, Joe Horn with the cell phone in the pads at the goalpost. It got pretty crazy for a while. Of course, Terrell Owens running to midfield and mm-hmm. pointing the ball up through the sky at the Cowboys game. That's pretty good. But Ernest Givens had some stuff going that was tough to top.
Ocho Cinco proposing to the cheerleader.
Well, he had a series of them, right? He had the putt. He would putt the football to the pylon. He had.
Was he the one that had the Sharpie in the sock and signed the autograph?
That was Joe Horn.
That was Joe Horn?
Joe Horn.
No, I thought that was the cell phone.
Joe Horn
had the cell phone.
Terrell Owens had the Sharpie in the sock.
T.O. It was T.O.
Oh, that's right. T.O. did have the Sharpie.
Chad Ocho Cinco. I know what it was. Chad Ocho Cinco put on the gold jacket. That's what
he did. That too. He did that too. And after a certain point, I think they changed the rule. You couldn't use a prop.
Oh yeah,
they got the rule changed. So that's to their credit. But it was pretty spontaneous.
I would say
Joe
Horn was the one who really prompted. Right? He was the straw. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Because when he did that, because wasn't that like a Sunday night or
Sunday
night
against
game?
The Vikings?
Yeah, it was like a nationally televised game, huge ratings. And he does that, and the league was like, oh, what are we going to do now? Everybody's seeing this. And they changed the rule. No props.
Which was dumb. I think it was funny.
Well, that's what prompted the – Chase, that's where people came up with the No Fun League. Yep. That's where it was all hatched.
One of the many reasons.
No Fun League. NFL, No Fun League. Because they were basically shutting down all celebrations.
And now it's basically you can have as much fun as you want with each other as long as you don't taunt.
Just don't look at it.
You can't taunt.
Don't look at
it. And you can't use a prop. You still can't use a prop.
Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Can't look at them. You may hurt their feelings. Don't look at them. That's taunting. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two. Big Joe on the go. We'll get it started on this loaded Friday as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game.